A reading from the prophet Ezekiel.
The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying there in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded to me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our journey through Lent began 4 weeks ago with Jesus being tested in the desert. We journeyed through darkness and noonday sun with Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman. Last week, Pastor Betty talked about the man born blind, and this week we receive an incredible vision from the prophet Ezekiel. This vision reminds us that God not only gives life, but restores life. That death will not have the last word, even when all signs of life have been taken away. Our God is the Creator God. God is both the origin of life and the goal of life. I want to say a few words about Ezekiel and the situation of the Israelites. I'll say a little about my own story, and then hopefully connect these in a way that relates to us all. The reading opens with Ezekiel being brought by the hand and spirit of God to a valley full of dry human bones. After the prophet walks around these bones, God asks, "Mortal, can these bones live?" What could be more lifeless than dry bones? My family and I love to go on hikes. And on these hikes, it's not uncommon to find an animal bone, especially where deer are abundant. Maybe you've done something similar. On occasion, I've come across a nearly intact animal, and this is not a pleasant sight. There are just too many reminders that not long ago, this animal was living, breathing, eating grass, drinking from a stream. The reminders of life make it hard to look. How can a human look into the face of death and not turn away? But finding a dry, sun-bleached bone is different. There are no signs of life. The bone is much like a rock. It's merely some minerals in a recognizable shape. Bones like this are so far from life that they almost go unnoticed. Dry, sun-bleached, lifeless bones are what God showed to Ezekiel. Except these are not deer bones. These are human bones. A valley filled with the bones of humans. The scene of some terrible ancient battle. Bones scattered by scavenging animals, by wind and rain. Bleached by years in the sun. Until nothing remained but the hard minerals. Can these bones live? God asks Ezekiel that question. Now, I can't make up my mind exactly how Ezekiel answers. The words he uses are pretty straightforward, but words on a page don't tell us what sort of inflection he used. I can imagine him answering in one of two ways. First, that he might say, "Oh Lord God, you know." Here, Ezekiel is acknowledging his own finite nature and God's infinite creative power. His answer tells of his faith in God and his conviction that God will deliver the Israelites from oppression. This is one way of reading it. But something tells me that he might have answered in another way. Instead of answering with conviction, he might have answered with hesitation and doubt. "Oh, Lord God, you know," as if to say, "you know, these are dried up bones, no more capable of living than these rocks." Now, this is a genuine human response. Isn't it how we really feel sometimes? So dejected and hopeless that even our faith in God wanes. And if we feel this way, God surely knows about it. And to answer with false conviction would only be to try to hide our true feelings from God. Perhaps Ezekiel left his answer vague on purpose, so that both ways of responding might remain on the page for future generations to wrestle with. Oh Lord God, you know. God does know. This is the God of Israel. The God who created the world and all that's in it. Who created a people from a childless old couple. Who freed their descendants from the living death of slavery in Egypt. Who entered into covenant with them. Who raised up judges, kings, and prophets, calling them to live again. Ezekiel's vision is given for a people who have lost heart. Who are suffering a death of the spirit, a living death in exile in a foreign land. Ezekiel has witnessed the soul of his people gradually wither and die, becoming as lifeless as a valley of dry bones. Can these bones live? This is a question I asked myself once upon a time. Can these bones live? In 2002, Alexis and I were expecting our third baby. Our family was prospering. Alexis was the nursery coordinator at our church, and my career was moving forward. We had two beautiful boys. We were a vision of happiness. We were approaching the end of her pregnancy. I had made all the arrangements at work to take some time off. I was just waiting for the doctor to call any minute now. I was ready to welcome the new addition to our household. And the doctor did call, but he didn't sound right. There was something in his voice that told me something was wrong. He explained that Alexis had come in for her regular weekly checkup and that they had been unable to locate the baby's heartbeat. I was shocked. "Is there no hope?" I asked. After 38 weeks of pregnancy, 38 weeks of joyful anticipation, 38 weeks of loving our unseen child, our child died. Our hearts were torn apart. Our breath was taken from us. Our flesh removed. Our muscles gone. Our sinews taken away. Our bones dried up and scattered. Our hope was lost. We felt cut off completely. Can these bones live? Oh, Lord, you know. But we did live. God spoke, and slowly our bones came together. Sinews came upon them, muscle and skin. And God's Spirit entered us, and we lived. And now we know that God is the Lord. God rescued us from our own grief and later blessed us with a beautiful daughter, Sarah, who was born exactly 1 year to the day after her brother. God spoke and God acted. This is a God who is, the one who speaks, the one who acts. It was true in Ezekiel's time, it's true today, and it will be true for all time. Ezekiel's vision is held up to us today, when so many around the world have their own experience of dry bones, both literally and metaphorically. Our earth is like a massive graveyard of dry bones, valley after valley of desolation, bones made dry by natural disasters like the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, the earthquake in Haiti last year, or the hurricanes that hit the Gulf Coast before that, the worldwide AIDS epidemic, and the wildfires right here in Colorado. Bones are also made dry by human action, wars in Africa and the Middle East, worldwide financial collapse, and spiritual bones made dry by churches that preach hate or intolerance or discrimination, by a world that values wealth over relationships, and even by simply the ever-changing cycles of human life. Sometimes it seems that we're so isolated from the world that we think ourselves immune from yearly cycles. The seasons change from spring to summer, fall and winter, yet sometimes we find ourselves surprised that we too go through cycles of birth, death, and resurrection. During our Lenten journey, all routes lead us through this valley of dry bones, where our power over the world around us wanes, and we are laid bare down to a lifeless, unsupported, discarded frame. But even in this state, we are still loved. And with whatever is left, new life can be created with God. As the Spirit moves through the valley, life is breathed into our still frames. We are given the support we need to move forward and forge ahead as we continue on our journey. We look to the mountaintop where we can celebrate and pronounce the good news on Easter. We are resurrected just as Christ is resurrected. Today, we hear a promise only God can give. God speaks through Ezekiel, saying, "Thus says the Lord God, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live." God promises not only tendons, muscle, and skin, but most importantly, God calls the breath to come from the four winds and breathe upon the slain. This breath is the Spirit of God, the life-giving Spirit breathed into the first human creature in the garden. The same Spirit was breathed into Jesus Christ crucified, lifting him up to resurrection life. It was the same breath that was breathed into the disciples as they gathered on that Pentecost day so long ago that gave life to the church. That very breath is moving in baptism, and it moves through the world, raising people to new life when all hope seems lost. We need to hear the vision of Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. It's a scene meant to live in the imagination and the heart. Where do you see the valley of death that needs to hear the promise of the living God? We are moving swiftly towards Holy Week.
Can the bones of a crucified man live? Yes. Just as we live in him, with him, through him, and for him, we live now in this power of that same Spirit given by Jesus, poured into our hearts. We are only 2 weeks away from that moment on Easter when we renew the baptismal promises. Do you believe in the God of life who created all that is? Do you believe in Jesus, the crucified and risen one, who died and rose that we might have life and have it abundantly? Do you believe in the Spirit of God, the divine breath that brings new life wherever it blows? Mortal, can these bones live? Yes. Most definitely, yes. Amen.